grateful to be here, and to I have such appreciation for Reverend Kristen and her wonderful leadership and presence with his spiritual family that means so much to me. So I just wanted to acknowledge that gratefulness on my heart. And and some of us have been hanging out together for a while, like all day yesterday. And what we were doing was looking at how, in its essence, we get to the experience of spiritual connection and how that works. How do you do it? And what does it mean? I mean, we probably have all had marvelous moments where Spirit has wanted to teach us what it's like to not be connected. And we kind of remember what that's like. There's usually tension and upset, and we have marvelous thoughts that characterize people other than great, magnificent spiritual beings. And so, yeah, you know, that we know what it feels like to not be connected with Spirit, and that's a misconcept, really. The divine is omnipresent. You can't be not connected because it's the life force, the light, the intelligence, all of life. But we can experience the lack of conscious connection. That conscious experience is a very different one than simply, okay, I'm alive and moving on. So I wanted to share with you because I found that this desire to understand connection has been one of the things that has unfolded for me through many years. And the ability to get there, to find myself connected, to find that which is the divine consciously present, the peace, the harmony, the vitality, the clarity, the wisdom. Every now and then, it's nice to have that. So let me share with you an example of what I mean. This is an experience that my son Peter shared with me. Now, Peter lives in L.A. with his wife Julia, and the situation was that Julia had been doing temporary work, and the company that she was working with recognized her talents and offered her a permanent position, a good salary, something that they had wanted to put their lives in a little different financial order. And so here was a wonderful opportunity, and except that Julia had been working there in the company, and she was aware why there was a vacancy and why everybody that took that job left. There's one of those marvelous dysfunctional, you know the story. Okay, and so Julia's here. She's got this wonderful opportunity, and only a fool would take it. And so she's in this real conflict. Should she do it? Can she go in there and make a difference? Can do it differently? What, you know, all that thing that began to go, and that she was worrying and realizing that she wasn't finding an answer. She was very worried, and it began to trigger patterns of anxiety that Julia had struggled with earlier in her life. So she's in the midst of sharing with Peter the struggle that she's in. And Peter's sitting there, but fortunately, Peter knew how to deal with that, because back in the years when Catherine and I were at HeartMath, Peter came and he participated in learning these techniques that actually stop your stress and worry and anxiety in a minute or two, and give you access to this beautiful level of wisdom that makes it clear how we make the decisions. It brings that understanding. So Peter had this marvelous ability, and he was about to share this with Julia when he remembered he had done that before. And it had become very clear. Peter could be her husband or he could be her heart math coach, but he couldn't be both. So he understood this was husband time. And then suddenly, if you had that situation where you know, somebody you care about in a struggle, and you want to help them, maybe you could, but you can't. Anybody ever been a parent? Yeah, okay, you know, or a child for that matter. You know, the frustration, the pain, the sense of powerlessness when we care about people and we can't help them. There's nothing that we can do. And so Peter found this feeling of powerlessness growing and the frustration. He even knew what would help her and he couldn't do it. And then he realized, well, I can't help her, but this moment I'm feeling powerless and frustrated. I can help me. So he went through for himself within a minute or two, just going through a set of very simple things that in their essence took him from the experience of non-connection, of being frustrated and upset and powerless and not connected with this person he loved, to the experience of being calm and centered and clear and knowing what to do. So he turned to Julia. He said, Julia, would it be all right if I held you? Julia kind of looked at him and said, so he just put his arms around his wife for a moment and just held her. And after a minute or two, there was a deep sigh. She said, thank you. And thank you for not saying anything. That had been part of the guidance. And because there is an end to the story, in the end, Julia took the job. She had the talent to take care of the problems, and she's still in it and doing very well, and they are rightfully grateful for this wonderful woman. But in that moment, what happens is we get a picture, a very real picture, like pictures that have been in our lives, of where we are in a state of disconnection. Yes, that divine presence may be everywhere, but I'm not feeling it. It is not in my conscious awareness. I'm not experiencing wholeness and connection. I'm in frustration and upset. And then a moment later, connection. Connected with this power and wisdom and grace that is who we really are. And the difference was he had made a conscious choice to connect with a different part of his being. Let me explain that. Some of you may remember back to that experience before you said, oh, I think I'm going to explore the third dimension and try humanness. I'm going to get one of those little bodies and get in there and see what it's like to experience the third dimension of this beautiful infant creation that I'm a part of. Yeah, I'm going to do that. That would let me learn about this beautiful creative force and dynamic and they've evolved this amazing thing called the human body. So I can get right there in the third dimension, be a part of it, touch it, experience it. Wow. And your soul said, okay, I'm going to do that. Now, even though at this point it may feel like a dumb decision, the truth is, in that moment, you were one with an amazing wisdom, an infinite wisdom that knew the unfolding of your soul and its purpose, and that knew that what was there would be of meaning and value to that journey that you were on, that infinite journey that you're on. And you said yes. And so a part of that infinite wisdom and harmony and power, at that point, you knew your oneness. You were one with an infinite mind and power, not separate from you, but a part of your being itself. Wow. And then you got this body going, and it started to grow, and you discovered that coming with this body was this marvelous thing that was going to help you interpret and experience the third dimension. It was going to take all the data out there, and it was going to arrange it so that you could go, oh, this is a lectern, and you know, that's a flower, and that's a pretty flower. Yeah, so you could look at the third dimension and experience it. You could figure things out about it. This amazing instrument called the brain. And it comes with this body, and it's how you're able to be here and interpret things. It's a great instrument. And it is not the wisdom that you were hanging out with before you got it. That's wisdom at a whole different level. That's a wisdom that knows oneness. That's a wisdom that is connected with all that is. That's a wisdom that understands your purpose and your presence in any moment in creation. Your brain doesn't do that. It's better at looking out and saying, oh boy, that person's really screwing up. It's good at that, okay? And it's not necessarily wrong, as you've noticed, okay. But what happens is because that brain is our default mechanism. It's the one we get with the body. Okay, and it interprets our world. And so when we are trying to understand our purpose and how to work with something in this world, it's taken all that data in, but it does it without the wisdom of the soul. And so we get frustrated and anxious and upset and feel powerless because it doesn't know true power. It doesn't know our oneness. Oh, it can think about it, but knowing it's something different. But Peter did something. He connected, and in that connection, then he understood not only the dynamic that was there, but what this being that he cared about really needed to help her connect with herself. Not by instructing her, but by responding to her real need. Our soul does that. It's amazing wisdom that you have. Wouldn't it be nice if we had that all the time? So what we worked with through the last day that we were doing workshop together was how to make that connection. And we looked at different ways. Because we understand several things about that connection. It doesn't happen to the brain. That runs the body in its thing. It happens through the heart. This is how that connections take place. And you have to choose it. You have to activate it. Because it's not the default mechanism. If we don't activate it, the brain does its thing. And it the thing that it does good. It's just, most of the time, not what we really need. So I want to share with you how. How do you do it? Now, again, knowing that we looked at some different ways of doing this, but I want to go to kind of a core experience that we can take from here and go out and do. And really, in whatever turns up to be frustrating today, and Spirit usually cooperates me after a talk, it usually creates frustration for a lot of people. So, you know, there'll be a chance. Oh, excuse me for just a moment. I've got a wonderful one-year-old grandson, and he's at the point where we're practicing sharing things together. So one of the things that he shared with me is his cough. So, no, thank you. I'll pass up on the cough drop. Thank you. The understanding that has evolved for us as humankind. We've always known the secret of doing this. We haven't really known how to do it. And the secret shows up in all the great teachings and in all the great faiths. We know it goes through the heart. That's not new. And we know that at its essence is love. Now, generally, what I found out is knowing how to love is different than knowing that it's love. And so I want to share with you something that I found so simple. And I got reminded of it. There's a wonderful woman that I've worked with for a number of years. And she shared an experience with me about making this connection in a moment that was very challenging for her. She's a young mom at this point, had her little boy, Jimmy, was five or six, I'm guessing five, somewhere around in there. And Jimmy deals with autism. So Jimmy's life is very challenging to work with and a real demand on this young mother. And Linda is divorced, and so the care for this little guy is really fills her world, and she has just made wonderful strides in putting together support and care for this little boy. And one of the things is that, you know, the schedules that help him in the needs that he has. And then Linda got a call from her ex. Anybody ever get one of those calls? Anybody have an ex? Yeah, anyhow, the ex, his name is James, and James says, "Oh, I just quit my job, and so I've got some free time. So I was thinking, you know, for a while, why don't I take Jimmy for, you know, more during the day and this sort of thing." And so Linda was in the situation of realizing that this was not the first time this had happened, that James's tends to go in and out of jobs, and that James is very excited about his ideas of what in the moment would be good really for him. And throughout their relationship, she'd had the opportunity to point that out to him a time or two. And so she gets this call, and it's like, we're back in this again. This child needs the order, the care. This is hard for this little boy when things change and situations change. And so she felt her anger coming up, and she was about to respond from that when she remembered she could connect. And so instead of responding from that place, and fortunately, James was willing to keep on talking while she did this, She made a movement into her heart. And she turned the key, put in that access code that takes us out of this beautiful brain and plugs us into the wisdom of the soul, the spiritual heart where we really hold the magnificent, infinite wisdom of our being. And from there, she responded to James. Now, because this was a phone call and it was sudden, her heart was very clear. This was not the time either to respond to him or to try to work out this sort of thing. So her response was, I'll take a look at this and get back to you, and let's so we can talk about it together. And that worked. And then she took and then she was able to take the time to really focus and go deep in her heart and make that connection and draw that beautiful wisdom from the soul into conscious awareness. And as a result, they ended up sitting down together and she laid out the schedules for little Jimmy's life and why change to that schedule was disruptive for him. And at that point, James could see, well, you know, the truth is I'm probably going to have another job in a couple weeks, so maybe we shouldn't do that. And so things went on. But what she did there in that moment, that's a huge change of consciousness. Not connected, connected. But she understood that what makes that connection is not just the heart. We get to the heart. The heart's the location. The heart is the instrument. But that which activates it is the pure feelings that are a part of love. That's what activates it. That's what turns it on and makes a difference. So what is coming to her brings her upliftment. When you connect with your spirit, feel uplifted? That's because it is a lesser density than the density of our thoughts. Feel clear? That's because we're connected to a wisdom that actually understands what we're doing. That helps. Okay. Feel connected with those around us? That's because that spiritual presence is oneness. She knew what he needed. She didn't know what he needed when she was angry with him. She could have explained to him some of the things she thought he needed, but that wasn't going to be productive. Okay, but she actually understood. He needed time. He needed to be engaged in a way that was, you know, because when we're in that oneness, just like when Peter understood what Julia needed, we're connected. We aren't really separate. That's a third dimensional thing. So we understand. What she did was go to the feeling of love. Now, there's a very simple way of entering into that. Now, what I know because I know Linda is I know what she probably did to activate that feeling of love was she just focused on this beautiful little five-year-old in her life. That is just a delightful little boy whom she has been caring and treasuring day after day, year after year. And she could focus on him and feel love. Now, she wasn't feeling love for James. That Jesus has a teaching about all that, and it's really important. It's not what we're dealing with here. This is get into love any way you can. Okay, but for Linda, that was easy. That's something that she did, you know, day after day, moment after moment, was connecting to her love for this little boy. So she could do it. And she breathed it, because breathing it took her into the feeling. So she would breathe that feeling of love. So James is on the phone, he's talking. Suddenly she connects into her feeling of love for little Jimmy. And she breathes into that feeling. And suddenly it's not the brain that is running her world. It is who she really is. A spiritual being connected to an infinite wisdom of harmony and oneness. So just do that with me now. Just breathe love. Just, I know there's somebody in your world that'll trigger that feeling of love. And the truth is you don't even need an object. It's just a marvelous thing to feel. Just breathe that feeling. And as you breathe, it's like you can enter in deeper. Yeah, go right down into it. Go deep into the feeling. Just feel it. It's magnificent. Yeah. This, I think the reason that I got to come down here was so I could stand up here and look at all of you and just breathe love, because you do it for me. All right. Just breathe that love. Oh, my goodness. We're surrounded with such beautiful, magnificent beings. We have opportunities. Did you know that you entered into a morning today that was filled with sunshine? See, that's kind of special to those of us who drove down from Washington. Wow, look at this morning. And I love these sunny mornings. It's easy. Breathe love. When the call comes from your ex, hello, breathe love. When that marvelous individual does the same thing they've always done that gets to you every time, breathe love. When you get and you start up your computer and it does not work like you think it should, breathe love. Yeah, connect with that beautiful divine presence, the magnificent wisdom of the soul that you are. You are love.